Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Electric Leftovers. My name is Jason. This is episode 426, coming at you from the Groove Machine Dome, and I have learned many things about this little task cam, and I think it's going to be a mighty just fine for us. I hope you do agree. Welcome to the show. This week over on YouTube, we have some new Final Fantasy Tactics, as we always do. We have a new State of the Channel video because it is now March, so if you want to check out what's upcoming for the month in the next little while in time over there, project-wise, we can help you out with that. We finished Super Mario World's stream last week, so we started a new one this week, and that is the game Blasto for the PlayStation 1, starring the late, great Phil Hartman. You may know him from such films as those other films. It was a Dennis Leary one, I think. Anyway, it was gifted to me a while ago, so I need to play it. So we're going to play it. It should be just fine. This week on the show, we're going to talk about Gremlins 2, the new batch. Not the movie, though. We're going to talk about the game, because that's a thing that exists. We are going to read some reviews for the one and only Gradius 3. And if I could get this stupid ad to go away, because I really don't care. OneDrive, you used to be great, now you just ads this and ads that. You're still better than Google Drive, but not by much. All right, our song for the week is going to be a lovely little ballad called The French Inhaler. Sure it is. And what's our movie? I don't know, because it won't let me see it. On the Waterfront. Ooh, that's a good one. Oh man, I'm excited to tell you about that one. But first, Gremlins 2. Gizmo is trapped inside Clamp Center by the evil Gremlins. Your mission? Help him battle his way to the control center and rid the city forever of the Gremlin menace. It's not going to be easy, though. You'll have to use cunning and wits to survive with only the weapons you find inside Clamp Center. Matches, a flashlight, tomatoes, and a homemade bow and arrow. But if you're lucky, the door to Mr. Wing's magic shop may mystically appear and let you buy some very special and powerful items to help you. The game has all the traps, mazes, and lightning quick moves to push your skill to the limits, and it has graphics that seem to come alive on the screen. Gremlins! Stopping them is not going to be easy. Don't say we didn't warn you. And this is indeed Gremlins 2, the new batch. It's an action platformer developed and published by the nice people over at Sunsoft in 1990. Clearly a tie-in to the Critters movie, because, well, you know, look, Gremlins is a great movie. Gremlins 2 is kind of trash. I think it's a terrible movie. It's a terrible sequel. Gremlins was like, we're making a horror movie. It's going to be scary. It's going to take place at Christmas time. There's going to be monsters. It's just a regular old B-grade horror movie for the 80s, right? And then Gremlins 2 says, oh, we can sell toys. Merchandising, ladies and gentlemen. Gremlins 2 is an okay game, honestly. I don't love it. I don't hate it. It plays kind of like Imagine those top-down sections of Blaster Master or Fester's Quest. Now add jumping. There you go. There's your Gremlins. Not a terribly long game. I played this. I don't honestly remember why I played this. It wasn't requested as far as I know. I think I just picked it to do it. Maybe we had a monthly where movie tie-ins was a thing. That might be it. I know Jade played it, and Jade's much better at it than I am. So go watch mine, and then go watch someone who knows what they're doing do it. Okay? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is review time. Let's start with this one. We have no regular contributors, so we'll start with Daemon's Charm. Daemon's Charm in 2007, who says, "Hard, frustrating, fun." Note, my rating scale is different from most rating scales. 5 is average, 7 is very decent, 10 is perfect. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for not conforming to what everybody else on the planet does. Concept, you're a spaceship in space, shooting down alien-like ships and getting power-ups. For each yellow-orange enemy you kill, you get an orb-like item that adds to your power-ups. For every orb you get, you can choose to use it on different power-ups, like if you get one orb, you speed up. 2 orbs, you get missiles, etc. The cool thing is you have the option to choose your power-ups, but only if you want to. That is pretty cool. That's confusing as hell, but it's pretty cool. It's confusing as hell because the way he described it there is not quite how it works. So if you're talking to somebody who's played Gradius 3 or any Gradius game, that makes it sound weird. Controls. The controls of this game is rather simple. All you is press B to shoot and use the directional pad to move. And trust me, you will need to know some excellent dodging techniques, like move up, down, left, or right. Music. I just wanted to point out that this is some great music for such an obscure game. Is Gradius 3 obscure? Even though it has like 3 to 5 tracks, but there's more than that. They are all pretty catchy. Even the Game Over theme makes me happy. Well, that's good, because you probably hear it a lot. Replayability. I must say. Well, he went from pointing out to must saying, I found this game at a pawn shop. I must say I found this game at a pawn shop when I was much younger. I don't think you had to say that. But this is another Super Nintendo game that fails to get old. I think I play it at least once a week. If I want to kill 10 minutes or put an hour into it and quit playing because I can't beat the third boss, it never gets stale. You not finished the game, Daemon's Charm? Don't know if I can continue with this review. You'd think if you're only going to play it once a week for 10 minutes to an hour at a time, you'd get good enough to get through stage 1 and 2 without running into a lot of problems. And then have plenty of lives to get through stage 3. But what do I know? Difficulty. I must point out this game is extremely hard. I never get past the third boss, but for some reason, it's fun. I've thrown my controller down too many games. Oh, okay. I was confused because he spelled two T-O-O, which I thought was going to mean I've thrown my controller down too many times. But when it was games, that didn't, I've thrown my controller down also many games. I've thrown my controller down extremely many games. I've thrown my controller down T-O too many games would be correct. But for some reason, it's fun. Wrong. Thrown my controller down to many games, screamed profanities at the top of my voice, and even broke a few consoles. Holy crap. But this game, for some reason, has never made me that frustrated. But you said the game over music made you happy. It does suck when you die because you start from where you died with no power-ups, and it's, again, incorrect. It's really hard. Overall, the game is very fun, but very challenging. I have never met someone who has actually beat this game. I do suggest, if you can find it, though, picking it up. I feel like that's backwards. Rating 7. Daemon's Charm says it's very decent. And if you can pick it up, you should find it. There you go. A lot of these are early 2000s. Daemon's Charm was 2007. Let's do this one. Rotten Wood in 2000, the space year 2000, says, fly around, press buttons, blow stuff up. Gradius 3 is a run-of-the-mill shooting game that touches all of the bases but doesn't attempt to do anything new or inspired. In a plot that has absolutely nothing to do with Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice, so why mention it? You fly an advanced spacecraft sent on a mission to fly through various environments, blowing everything up that you come across to save the world from some sort of enemy force. Because as we all know, the best way to save the universe is to blast the heck out of it. The first Gradius pretty much did all there is to do with this style of game, but of course it made money, and that means the game company must make sequel after sequel until people stop buying them. Well, anyhow, it's all rather simple. You move your little ship around and blast away with various weapons, mowing down the enemy forces while dodging bullets, lasers, missiles, and various other hazards. It can be an entertaining experience for short periods of time. Unfortunately, the challenge factor tends to go a bit askew in these types of games. If you're fully equipped with all of the weapon types and option accessories, the game is pretty easy. But once you die and lose all of your accumulated weapons, the game becomes 10 times as hard, and you usually end up dying over and over before you have the chance to build up your ship again. So if you accidentally steer into a rock on level 3, you might be out of luck. Was level 3 that hard? I don't remember it being. I think it's the volcano one. It's not terrible. Speaking of luck, I hope yours is activated when you play this game. This is the sort of game that, when a challenge is required, simply fills the screen with enemies and gunfire. Talk like that, I could run for president. And you're forced to fly around like crazy, hoping to survive. That wasn't a Biden joke. I don't know what every single person considers to be fun, but I can bet that most people aren't too keen on the prospect of such entertaining games as fly into the 10 millimeters of screen space where there isn't a bullet. Yes, people really hate them bullet hell games, I'm sure. The graphics are very good, of course. Shooting games tend to have large, detailed enemies and great-looking stuff going on, and Gradius 3 is no exception. There's a good variety of level backgrounds as well. The music is also surprisingly good and sometimes downright catchy, and all of the blasting and exploding sounds are professionally done. Well, that's good. In terms of the eyes and ears, Gradius 3 satisfies in all aspects. My ears are pretty satisfied. And the gameplay? Well, it's all there, really. The ship steers fine, the weapons fire as you'd expect, and the difficulty progression is standard. If you enjoyed any of the other Gradius games, or R-Type, or any of the myriad of titles pretty similar to this one, this game will provide you with some enjoyment. I can't see anyone playing this game, for more than a week, though. There's nothing fresh or exciting here. You just dodge death as usual, banging on the shoot button like a toddler pounding on a play school toy workbench. But it is a competent shooting game for those who are interested. Rotten Wood gave it a 5. Here's a little bit of trivia, interesting trivia on the side. Gradius 3 is a somewhat direct port of the arcade version of it, also released by Konami. It's an odd sentence. Konami were able to realize the insane difficulty of the arcade version and notably tuned it down, for this entry onto the series, even though it still remains hard nonetheless. That is true. The arcade version, much harder. Much, much harder. Shyster, 2016. That's not that long ago. Says, best shooter on the SNES? I haven't really played a lot of the Gradius series, but I have to say that Gradius 3 is pretty much everything you want out of a space shooter, yet adds enough to make it stand out. Like a typical Gradius, you control the Vic Viper, out to shoot everything that moves, and you choose which between a selection of upgrades that changes based on how many power-ups you collect. Let me read that over. I'm confused. Where does the sentence officially begin? Oh, right there. Like a typical Gradius, you control the Vic Viper out to shoot everything that moves, and you... Okay, I'm okay with that. Vic Viper, you're out to shoot everything that moves. And you choose which between a selection of upgrades. Choose which what? That changes based on how many power-ups you collect. So the selection of upgrades changes based on how many power-ups you collect. The selection. You can save these upgrades to power up your ship later on how you see fit. Okay, this is confusing for a couple of reasons. Number one, that's an odd sentence. Number two, it's kind of how the game works, but not quite. It's a little different than that. I will explain a little later. And special to Gradius 3, you now have a selection of power-ups to choose from. But previously, it was a selection of upgrades that were power-up dependent. Now they're power-up. It's a selection of power-ups to choose from in a predetermined set or in a set you create on your own. Do I need to tell you this is perfect for replayability? You probably should. Gradius 3 never seems to end. After defeating boss, you'll pretty much start against a blockade of enemies until you reach a cavern, which you traverse until you get to the next boss. Rinse and repeat until the end. Gradius 3 is hard. So hard, in fact, that Konami pulled the arcade version and added an easy mode in the options menu, and even on easy, it's still pretty hard. Luckily, Konami put in some cheat codes, like 30 lives, which you think you'll obtain through the Konami code, correct? I don't know. You tell me. Actually, no. Instead, this simple code of holding left, pressing the A button thrice, and then pressing start. Now, this is a different paragraph. The previous paragraph ended with, you'll obtain through the Konami code, correct? And then we get to, actually, no. Instead, this simple code of holding left, pressing the A button thrice, and then pressing start. Okay, so that's how we get 30 lives. They did put the code in the game, press pause, and then the Vic Viper will explode. Oh, Konami, you sillies. The way that was laid out. You think it's the Konami code? Well, it's not. You put in this code, and then you press start, and your ship blows up. That's a summation of what was your name? Who are you? Shyster66 said. What I think he means is if you put in the Konami code, your ship will explode when you press pause, or start, or whatever. Okay? It's cool that Konami put it a bit of humor. That's real funny. Yeah. Instead, you press the L and R buttons instead of pressing down, left, and right on the D-pad, which is a limited power that lets you power up completely. Nice. What? Okay, let me see if I can translate here. To get 30 lives, I'm assuming... because he doesn't say this, but I'm assuming you pause the game, hold L, press A 3 times, and then unpause. Okay? Now, everybody knows the Konami code. Up, down, up, down, up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, B, A, start, or some version of that. There's another version. I swear there's a game where you had to put B, A in twice. There's another game I think you put it in once. Doesn't matter. Basically, up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, start. That's Konami code. But if you enter the Konami code, pause the game, put in the Konami code, unpause, you explode. Okay? But I think he's saying it's up, up, down, down, L, R, L, R, instead of left, right, you know, shoulder buttons. But the way he's got it written, instead you press the L and R buttons instead of pressing down, left, and right. You can't use down for pressing something down when you're using directions after that, because then you're saying down, left, and right. That means you press L and R instead of down, left, and right. Okay. And then it's a limited power that lets you power up completely, but is it time limited? Can you use it only once? Explain, please, Shyster. The only flaw is, like a lot of shumps, if you die, it's really hard to re-equip yourself for the situation. However, Konami was nice enough to give you a free power-up sometimes. Is it sometimes? When you restart the level and sets you near enemies that drop power-up so it all balances out. But you don't... I don't think you do that. I don't think so. The graphics are very appealing to the eye and may be the best on the system. It definitely shows that the Super Nintendo Entertainment System is changing for the better, and games are only going to get better from here. This game came out in 89 on the arcade, I think. 90-91 for the Super Nintendo. Shyster wrote his review in 2016 to let us know it's all up from here for the Super Nintendo. If you haven't played Gradius 3, you're missing out on one of the best shooters on the system, but I am in the process of playing all of them, but I doubt all of them will top Gradius 3. And even though it is flawed, Shyster gave it a 10. Well, Shyster, you're a confusing individual. That's all I can say. A lot of this was confusing. So, power-ups. Now let's talk music first, because that one guy said there was only 3 to 5 tracks. But if you only ever get to level 3, you're only probably going to hear 5 tracks. You heard 5 in the show last week. In the first section of music, there is actually 2 different tracks that I put together because one of them was rather short. And then we had a third track. That one plays fairly frequently. That is the in-between stages. You start the game, that track plays, you get into a stage. That stage has music. When you leave that stage, the kind of in-between, the pre-stage music plays, and it's that every time. There's a special bonus pre-stage where it's just power-ups after power-ups after power-ups. I think you guys heard that one. Then we heard the ending thing. So you didn't get boss music, you didn't get stage music, you didn't get any of that. I think there's almost 20 tracks to the soundtrack. So a little more than 3 to 5. Now the power-up system. The way the power-up system works, if you are not familiar, in previous Gradius games, you got to pick. Do you want... Everybody gets a speed up. That's default built into your ship. The next, you get a gun power up. You have a little pellet gun that shoots straight forward. Pew, pew. So you can power it up to have 2 pellets shoot straight forward. Makes your shot a little wider. You can have one shoot up diagonally at a 45 degree angle while one goes straight. You can have 180 in front, 180 behind. You can have 180 front and 45 behind. So you get options. Then you have options for lasers. Do you want a ripple? Do you want a charge laser? Do you want a laser that's got a very thin beam but can pierce enemies? You have your options. You have missiles. You've got gun, missile, laser, option, and shield. So there's 5 different power-up types you can pick from. And then each one of those, I think, has 4 different. So there's 4 different guns. Double, the tail gun, the front and the back. Yeah, so 4 guns. There's tons of customizability. Some of the Gradius games, you didn't get to pick individuals. You picked one, like you picked a row, and you got all 5 on that row. That was it. Gradius 3 lets you do that, or you can mix and match, and you can mix and match different types of power-ups. So you can have not all of the lasers that appear in the full row thing appear in the individual thing. So there's trade-offs. You might get a better laser, but you get crummy missiles. You might get really good shield, but your options kind of suck. So that's what this does. When you kill an enemy to drop the power-up, you don't get the power-up right away. You can turn this on and off. I usually have it off. I never leave it on because I don't play that way. You get a speed up for your first one. Your second one will get you your gun power up. Your third one, your laser. Your fourth, your... Power up, gun, missile, laser, option, shield. And then there's a final one, which is a mega crush, which is a separate thing, but can also be a usable power up. So if you want to get your speed up, you collect one of these power up orbs, you hit the button, your speed goes up. But then you have to collect two to get your gun, because one will give you speed, two will give you gun. So if you power up your gun, then when you want your missiles, you've got to get another three. And then if you want your laser, you got to get another four. So I usually don't care about my gun power up. I skip it until I can get missiles and lasers. That's just me. So the way it was described, I think, was a little off-putting, a little confusing. I hope that helps. I think that's all I got. Everybody else is right. The music is great. The graphics are great. The gameplay is really good. It's just hard. I really like it. It's one of my favorite shoot 'em ups, though, like, of all time. I wish it didn't have the slowdown it did, but where it's an almost direct arcade port, it's to be expected, I think. Story, give it a 7, because there's a bad guy. Go kill him. Okay, that's your story. Graphics, I'm going to give him a 9. Music, I will give an 8. Gameplay, I'll give a 9. I'd say this is a solid 8.5, 9 for me. It's a really good game. One of my favorite shooters of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, I may not be the biggest Marlon Brando fan. I'm fairly certain I'm not. But I'm a pretty damn big Lee Cobb and Carl Malden fan. And I absolutely love On the Waterfront. It's a movie that gets made fun of a lot because I could have been a contender. That's from this movie. But God, man, is this a damn good movie or what? 1954 crime drama. Musical score by Leonard Bernstein. Black and White was inspired by Crime on the Waterfront by Malcolm Johnson. It's a series of articles that was published between November and December in 1948, which won the 1949 Pulitzer Prize for reporting. The screenplay by Bud Schulberg is directly based on his story, which was kind of sort of halfway inspired by that. It focuses on union violence and corruption amongst the longshoremen while detailing widespread corruption, extortion, and racketeering on the waterfronts of Hoboken, New Jersey. Critical and commercial success, considered one of the greatest films ever made, I agree. 12 Academy Award nominations and won 8, including Best Picture, Best Actor for Marlon Brando, Best Supporting Actress for Eva Marie Saint, Best Director for Ella Kazan. 1997, it was ranked by the AFI as the 8th greatest American movie of all time. In AFI's 2007 list, it was ranked 19th. It is Bernstein's only original film score not adapted from a stage production with songs. In 1989, it was one of the first 25 films to be deemed culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant, and it ended up going into the Library of Congress along with High Noon, which we just talked about a couple of weeks ago. I don't want to tell you too much about it other than just watch it, man. It is so good. It is so good. Everybody in it's great. The acting's great. The story's great. This is a fantastic movie. Cannot recommend it enough. news. Oh, I just heard about this one on a podcast I listened to today. Our lead story, unmanaged. At an event billed as the Willie's Chocolate Experience on February 24th in Glasgow, Scotland. My favorite word to hear people from Scotland say is Glasgow. I love it. I don't know why. Children and parents were so underwhelmed that police were called, the New York Times reported. The event, which promised Willy Wonka-themed chocolate fountains, performances by Oompa Loompas, and optical marvels, turned out to offer just a few jelly beans and a nearly empty warehouse. Stuart Sinclair, who paid about $44 per ticket to bring his kids to the show, said it amounted to maybe 20 chairs, a couple of tables, and a half-inflated bouncy castle. Jenny Fogarty, who was hired to play an Oompa Loompa, said she was given a 15-page script the night before and that, quote, the wigs were very cheap. The organizer canceled the event on Saturday afternoon. It was unclear who had called the police. The event organizer, House of Illuminati, said ticket purchases would be refunded. So I heard about this just a couple hours ago from the perspective of the gentleman who was hired to play Willy Wonka. So the kids, this is a grand opening of a chocolate factory kind of thing, right? Very, very Willy Wonka themed kind of thing. The kids were given a single jelly bean each and a quarter cup, 2 ounces, basically a shot of lemonade. He said he was given the script. It was 15 pages and it was all AI generated. He got the call. He's like, you're going to get to play Willy Wonka at this thing. He was very excited. He got there and he hated it. He absolutely, I feel so bad for everybody. I apologize that I took any part in this. It's awful. Yeah, pretty bad when you like, what is that Willy Wonka fella known for? I know, jelly beans. Here's some bright ideas. On February 19th, neighbors in an apartment building in, oh boy, Wejherowo, Poland. Wejherowo? That place. Poland became alarmed as a 19-year-old man tried to lead a full-grown horse up his stairs to his third-floor home. Radio Next reported. Police were called to the building and determined that the mare, worth about $3,800, had been stolen. She was returned to the owner and the horse thief was charged with theft. He faces 5 years in prison. Good to know it's still a crime to steal a horse in Poland. Details have recently emerged about an incident in Willow Springs, Missouri in November, the Springfield News Leader reported. The Howell County Sheriff's Office has investigated after a man in his 60s, who was a paraplegic, lost his feet while brush hogging. It was a poorly executed plan, says Lieutenant Tori Thompson. He said it was clear almost immediately that the accident had been staged. The cuts were very clean, the feet were nowhere to be found, and tourniquets had been applied to both legs. Allegedly, the victim had help from a man from Florida who cut off the feet with a hatchet to help him commit insurance fraud. However, since the unnamed man never filed the claim and he was so severely injured, the sheriff's office declined to charge him. And the missing feet, quote, a couple of days later, we got a call that a relative found them in a bucket obscured by tires. So we went and got them, Thompson said. Mystery solved. Was there a mystery? There was. Golden age of air travel. On February 13th, as a Delta flight soared from Amsterdam to Detroit, maggots began falling from an overhead compartment onto passengers below, The Guardian reported. Philip Schott, who was on the flight, said attendants traced the source to a bag stowed above and found a rotten fish wrapped in newspaper. They removed the offending item, and the pilot announced that the plane would be returning to Amsterdam. Apologizing, Delta said the passengers were placed on another flight, and the plane was removed from service for cleaning. Passengers were also given 8,000 air miles, hotel room compensation, and a $30 meal ticket. But who's hungry? And really, what will $30 get you in an airport? A travel bag of Triscuits and a single jelly bean. And a shot of lemonade. Sri Lankan Airlines was forced to ground one of its Airbus A330 planes for 3 days after a rat was spotted on the aircraft, UPI reported on February 27th. The rodent was seen during a flight from Lahore, Pakistan to Colombo, Sri Lanka. Workers sprayed the plane with poison and technicians checked wiring for damage done by chewing. What happened to the rat? Story of saw that coming. You might have missed the first ever Florida Man game since St. Augustine on February 24th. I know I did. But it's never too early to plan for next year. UPI reported that hundreds of people paid $55 each for a ticket to watch Floridians compete in a mullet contest and a Florida sumo event where competitors tried to spill each other's beers. Other events included a pork butt eating contest, a race that simulated stealing a bike, and an evading arrest obstacle course. One winning team walked away with the $5,000 prize. "We understand that Florida is weird," said Pete Melfi, organizer of the event. "We embrace it." There are lots of things that you should be proud of and embrace. That's not one of them. Speaking of Florida, Arizona Senator Tommy Tuberville, who is a renowned football hero in Alabama, for God knows why. I think he had a losing record. He's the senator from Alabama. He's the guy who's holding up all the military promotions, which is why for a long time, like almost 8 months, I think, basically nothing was getting done because we didn't have anybody to fill any positions because of him and him alone. He lives in Florida. Senator for Alabama lives in Florida. That ain't right. Try the decaf. Brandy Gotch, 30, of Peoria, Arizona, told police that her children were being bullied by other kids, and she had reported it to the school and law enforcement, but nothing happened. So on February 27th, she took matters into her own hands, CBS 5 TV reported. With her four children, in her Silverado, Gotch drove to a local park where she allegedly approached a group of kids and started yelling at them. Police said she grabbed a 14-year-old boy by the hair and yanked his head back and forth as she yelled at him, then grabbed a stick from her trunk and chased him, yelling, "I'm gonna kill you and run you over!" She then jumped back into her truck and drove it toward the group of kids, running over a girl's ankle in the process. Although she told police she didn't think she hit the girl, "I hope I didn't," she said. Her own children told police they were bouncing all over the truck during her jaunt through the park. Gotch was charged with 6 counts of endangerment, 4 counts of aggravated assault, 2 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and 1 count of attempted first-degree murder. That'll really help cut down on the bullying. Yeah, if there's one thing we all know, we remember from our time when we were elementary school and junior high kids, is that if your parents are weird, nobody bugs you about it, right? News you can use. Legend says that if the 7 ravens who protect the Tower of London, 6 plus 1 spare, as decreed by King Charles II, ever leave the landmark, the tower will crumble and the Kingdom of England will fall. So it's no surprise that the tower has a raven master, and 56-year-old Michael Barney Chandler, how do you get that name, had just been installed in the job, the AP reported. Chandler is a formal Royal Marine who said, "We don't know if the prophecy is true or not, because we've never let the number drop below 6, and it's not going to happen while I'm here." As the 6th holder of the post, Chandler will be in charge of 4 other beef eaters who look after the ravens. "You never know what they're going to do," he said. "They're all totally different, personality-wise." That's how he talks. His favorite is Poppy, who hops up to him to accept a treat of a dead mouse now and again. Spoiler alert, the bird's feathers are trimmed so they can't fly away. Well, it doesn't say anywhere in the declaration that the birds cannot be incarcerated, so I think that's a loophole in the prophecy there. Leap Day fun. In Rye, New Hampshire, Lillian Eden celebrated her 25th birthday, although she is 100 years old. "I feel 25 until I start trying to walk," Eden said, according to WMUR-TV. "I can't believe I've lived this age. I really can't." She was feted with lunch and cupcakes. I feel you, Lillian. "I feel 25 until I have to stand up." A brother and sister who were both born on Leap Day 4 years apart are getting to celebrate the unusual birthday for the first time. Omri Demchik, 8, and his sister Scout, interesting, 4, celebrated with more than 50 people at the coffee shop their parents own in Brooklyn, New York. Most years, the family celebrate Omri's birthday on February 28th and Scout's on March 1st. Mom, Lindsay Demchik, said neither of the Leap kids was due on the special day. "It was truly serendipitous," she told the New York Post. That's how people from Brooklyn talk. Kind of like that. Issue 12 of France's La Bouge d'Assapour, or The Sapper's Candle, has hit the newsstands, the BBC reported, which is kind of a big deal because it's printed only on February 29th. That means every 4 years. The first edition was in 1980. Editor Jean Dindy said the 20-page tabloid is, quote, put out by a few pals. We meet in a bar and toss around ideas over drinks. We have a lot of fun. And if the reader does too, that's the icing on the cake. It has a print run of 200,000, costs about 5 euros, and is not available online. You know, that's kind of how I feel about this show, right? I have a lot of fun. If the reader does too, that's the icing on the cake. You, my dear listener, are my icing. I like you just the way you are. French Inhaler is our song for the week. It's a pretty bitter song. Warren was kind of involved with somebody named Thule, pseudonym, and this was a song kind of like a kiss off to Thule. A bitter tone, lyrically modeled after when Zeven found about Thule's post-breakup meeting with another musician. Basically, it's, you know what, you slept with another dude, so F off to his son's mom. It's the greatest ex-girlfriend FU song of all time. Despite the subject matter, his mom would play it after a couple glasses of wine and laugh and say, isn't that brilliant? She knew he was a genius. It's a great song, man. I like it. It's off the self-titled album. Probably should have mentioned that. Won't get into the lyrics too much, but it's clever. It's sharp. It's cold and it's funny. And I like all of those things. Warren playing piano and vocals. Waddy Watchell on guitar. Glenn Frey and Don Henley. You might know them from a little group called the Eagles. Singing some harmonies on this one. And to all of that, I just have to say, so long, Norman. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that's it. I think we hit everything we needed to for this week's edition of the show. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you will check out On the Waterfront. I really, really recommend you do. And I hope you check out French Inhaler by good old Warren Zevon. I think it's a fantastic song. And, you know, It has a special place in my heart, as it should just about everybody's, because it's a Warren Zevon song. Check out Final Fantasy Tactics. I hope you joined us for Blasto, and if you didn't, I hope you checked out the videos showing up over on YouTube or the Jason's Groove Machine website. Speaking of the Groove Machine, it had been a while since I'd posted any videos of the Groove Machine Dome and the project going on out there. I had a bunch on my computer ready to go, and I just never got them uploaded. So they're all uploaded. Got some new ones in the works, talking about some of the projects we finished up. So if you want to check those out, those go out every Tuesday on my YouTube channel. If you would like to follow me on YouTube or Twitch, that's Jason's Groove Machine on either of those. I'm on post at Jason, G-R-V-I-N. And if you would like to kick in a couple bucks, financially support the show and get yourself access to the video versions of the podcast and get your name put in for the drawings for fan-based games, viewer's choice stuff, kind of stuff we do. You can do that at buymeacoffee.com/electricleft. That is it for me. I'm going to pack it in, go inside, because it's damn cold out here. It's like been snowing for 2 days, and it's March. I don't like it. I'm angry. I'm upset. I'm going to go have some coffee, and oh, would you look at that? I think it's lunchtime. So I think I'll do that too. Yeah. Good idea. You should do the same. Get yourself some coffee. Go buy me one if you want. And get yourself some lunch, and then, yeah, we'll pick it up here next time. What do you say? Sure. Thank you, everybody. Take care.